Woohoo! All right, this chair, this is going to be Jesus, the Son of God. Okay? Son of God. So let's put this way up here on the throne. There he is. That's Jesus, Son of God. This chair will be Jesus, Son of Man. So this will be Son of Man. So he had to come to earth, Christmas coming up. So he had to come to earth as Son of God in the form of Son of Man. That doesn't mean he wasn't the Son of Man. It just means that he had to take on his form, but he retained his Son of God anyway, always. And this then is the law that he was going to replace. So this is the law right here where we have to behave. You better watch out, you better be nice, and so on. So this one here is the law, what you must do to please God. These three over here will be what you don't have to do and cannot do, and that is God wants to keep his promise. God wants to keep his promise. That's why he sent Jesus as Son of Man. So here we have faith in him, and here we have hope in him, faith and hope. But the greatest of these will be what?
Love.
Love. Thank you. Man, that was a loving thing to do. That was a loving thing to do. So now you have all these chairs up there. Who can name them all? Who can name them all? Okay, Willis, go ahead. Which one's way up on top?
Jesus, Son of God.
Jesus as the Son of God. So he's up here on this throne. This is where Jesus is in heaven with the Father. But he retains that Son of God, can't get rid of it. I'll tell why later. But he can't get rid of it because it's who he is. And because he has life in himself. So that eternal life that he has there is still here. And now he's on earth, incarnated in human flesh, taking the form of a servant. So did you see that move? Now it's perfectly possible for him to do it because God can do whatever he wants to do, especially if it's to show you how much he loves you. So he did not come to make you do something to please him. He came to keep his promise to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He came to keep his promise that he made even before the foundation of the world, though you didn't know about it, when he laid Jesus down to die for our sins, and this chair here, to die for our sins as Savior, and then to be our Lord, to remove all of our sins as Lord, and then to lead you and love you and marry you because he's a loving Savior as Bridegroom. So, Savior, Lord, Bridegroom. See those three? Okay, who has the three things that God came to promise you and he has to keep all three? What offices or titles does he hold here? Savior, Lord, Bridegroom. This one is the one that's not taught at all. But unfortunately, this is the most important one right here. The only reason he's Savior is so he can be your Lord. And the only reason he's Lord is so he can kill off your flesh so that then you'll have nothing left but spirit. And then he can marry you because he perfected you. Do you see how he did that? Savior forgives your sin. Lord removes your sin. And then Bridegroom marries you. And he's coming back for this one right here. He'll come back. He's still Savior. And of course, he's still Lord. But he's no longer... Those are not the reasons that he came back. He has to lord over the wicked that tried to keep the law and didn't ever confess and say they didn't do it. And all of those that, of course, just ignored his law. But now you don't have to keep the law because God keeps it for you. Jesus kept the law for you. His life is your life. Does that make sense? So his life is actually your life. So you don't have a life of your own. You don't have a life of your own. I don't know how you open these things. How do you open them? Got to have a stronger hand than mine.
Just want to raise it up a little?
No, just tilt it down. No, the other way. It won't go, huh? Okay. Chad must have fixed it.
That's all I did.
Chad must have fixed it.
Yeah.
I just took it.
Okay, I'll just lower it. I'll just lower it. Lower it. There you go. Now it doesn't matter.
Do you want it like a podium?
Yeah, just so I can see it. I want you all to be able to see the chairs. All right. So now, these chairs that I've set out represent the whole of the kingdom. I didn't put the Father and the Holy Spirit in it, but it doesn't matter. So, now you have all these chairs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 chairs. Okay? And I could put the Father and the Son, so you'd have 8. But let's just use these 6. All right, what is the top chair, the chair on top?
Son of God.
Jesus as Son of God. What is the chair right below it?
Son of Man.
Jesus as Son of Man. That's when he's on the earth. He has a special mission. And even though he stays Son of God, he takes the form. He takes the form not of God, Son of God. He takes the form, that means he has to empty himself before he can do this, of his Son of God attributes. But he's still Son of God because he still has eternal life. So he's still the Son of God. And he'll always be the Son of God. And he cannot help it. And now you, if you receive him, if you believe in him, if you believe what I'm about to tell you, you have eternal life in you.
And we're the daughters of God.
So you're the sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
So that's pretty powerful. Did you know you were a son of God?
Yeah.
Good. That's good. So to be a son of God, you don't do anything. Over here, you have to do something to please God. This is the law, God's law that was given to Moses. How many know the law came through Moses? But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 1:17. So now that he came as Son of Man, he can now do these three things. He can now perform these three things on our behalf. So I'm going to move these aside a little bit so that you can see these are the three things that he does. So this is your justification, your sanctification, and your glorification. Here I am a believer, here I'm a disciple, and here I am a lover. So here Jesus is our Savior, here Jesus is our Lord, here Jesus is our bridegroom. So this is the ultimate one right here. The only reason he did this was he could do this, so he could do this. He's keeping his promises. So he made a threefold promise. All of this is called salvation. All of this is a process, not a one-time event, whereby he redeems you from this world and from the law and from wrath and from trouble and from the devil and from everything that would not be happiness. Now, I think that's a good God. I think that's a good God that would send his Son, the Son of God, into the world, Son of Man, so that he could then save you by justifying, sanctifying, and glorifying you, and he did it all.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to do a thing. Why? Because you can't. And even if you could, you wouldn't. So don't even think about it, because you don't have eternal life until he gives it to you. So eternal life is the first gift he gives you. The first gift is you're born. Now you're born of the Spirit. You weren't before. You were born of the flesh. You were born of woman. Now you're born of the Spirit of God, neither male nor female. And then you are filled with the Spirit, born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. And then you are led of the Spirit. And those that are led of the Spirit are called the sons of God. So you're not a son just because you're born. You're not a son and a young man just because you grow a little bit older. You're only a son if you can be led of God and mature yourself into what a son should be, which is to please the Father. So as Son of God, he always pleases the Father. And as Son of Man, he came down to show us his love affair with the Father so that we then could become the sons of God and marry him. And you know what you get when you marry someone? All their stuff. You inherit everything they have. He has everything you have, so he died for you. And you have everything he has, so you live forever.
Amen.
That's a good, I like that idea. Right there, as I trade in my old and he gives me a new one. That is a very good exchange. Could I have one of those new ones? What have you got? An old one, worn out, you know, not so good, imperfect. Could you give me one of those perfect ones? Every time my kids banged up the car, and we had four of them, so we had lots of cars banged up. Every time they banged up, I don't think any of them just had one accident. I think they all had at least two, and some were better than others at banging them. You had to get new ones, or different ones, or fix up the old ones. Well, God doesn't give you a fixed up one. And my last daughter caught on to that. Dad, I know I banged it up three times, but I want a new one. And I'm not going to bang this one up. That's what you said the other two times. You know, I know, but I don't want an old one anymore. And so today she has a nice new car. Anyway, God likes to give new for old. He likes to give new for old. So you can always exchange your used one, your used up one, your imperfect one, for something new. Now, let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let's see. Where am I here? Philippians, Romans. Here we are. Philippians. All right. Now, I want to start at verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, on his own interests, on his own stuff. Look not every man, but also, you do look on your own things. You do look on your own things as son of man. You're a man. So as a man, look on your own things, but as following the Son of God who always does what pleases the Father, you should always please your Father by also looking on others. So first of all, I believe that Jesus looked on for me as Son of Man, who was Son of God. And then I also believe that he took away my sins so that I don't love myself because I don't have to, because he loves me better than I even love myself, because he is my life. And then I love my neighbor as I love myself, which is Christ in me, the hope of glory. So this gospel that we have is even more gooder than you have been told. It's incredibly good because it's just God keeping his promise. It's not you keeping any promise. You're not a promise keeper. I know there are people here in Dallas that are promise keepers, and you know, good for them, but it'll fail. I guarantee you it'll fail because we don't keep promises. How many know we're not good promise keepers? I promise I'll blah, blah, blah. You know, your promises aren't worth that much. Has anyone discovered that in real life experience? You can promise something and then not be able to keep it. Let's say you die the next day. Well, you couldn't keep it. But God's not like that. Even if he dies, he'll just jump up again until he finishes the promise. He can't make a promise and not keep it. It could be in the future because promises are like that. A promise is not a present. If I promise you something, I can give you a down payment, which is present. But I also, the promise is in the future, because it's a promise. And so when God promised you all of this, you haven't yet experienced all of this. You don't have your inheritance yet. You don't have your eternal life right now. Eternal life, though it's in you by faith, it's not yet experienced by you in all its fullness. So life, I came that you might have life, and have it more abundantly. You don't have that yet. You cannot get that now. You cannot faith it. You will still not get it because he never promised that to you. He promised to you at a certain time in the future when he comes back. You know why? Because your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is not your life. Your life is really Jesus, this Son of Man, Son of God. That's your life right there. See, this Son of God is the eternal life that a Son of Man does not have, like King David. Peter even said on the day of Pentecost, David's grave is here. He has not yet ascended into heaven. because he didn't have eternal life. You remember he prayed a prayer? God, create in me a clean heart. I want a new heart. And you can make hearts. You gave me the old one. It's not good enough. Give me another one. Well, he never got it. Even to this day. He's still in the grave. And Peter said he doesn't have it yet. But Christ is already in heaven. Why? Because he had eternal life. And the Father has eternal life in himself. Therefore, when he became Son of Man, he still had it. So he could then give away what he had. But he couldn't give away what he didn't have. But he did have it as Son of Man because he was a servant to me and gave me eternal life. So I'm now born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. Now, I can do that on this earth. As a matter of fact, the day I die, I can't do that anymore. Whatever I'm going to do on the earth, that's over. But my eternal life isn't given to me the day I die. I have the hope of eternal life. I have the assurance of the eternal life because he promised. The good work I began in you, I will surely finish, complete. So I have his promise, and I don't need to see it to believe it. I don't need to see it. I don't need to see my inheritance. I don't need to see heaven. I don't need to see anything because I know I'm already there by faith. But I'm just a little kid here. This is a little child. This is a young man or young woman. This is a mature mother or father. So I don't see everything yet because it's not time. And so there's a timing here. There's a growth here. But when you die, now it's over. So whatever you did or didn't do, that's going to fix you. Now, did you know that after you die, you don't go to heaven? You do not go to heaven. It's not in the Bible. The opposite. You go to Hades. I'm not going to explain it. I'm just going to tell it to you, and you can look it up for yourself. You can Google it if you want to. You don't go to heaven. You go to Hades, and you're either in this place or that place or this place or that place. In other words, there's a whole bunch of things. It just means under the earth. How many know that when you die, people are buried? So we know at least their body is there decaying. But that's not the issue. The issue is you also then, your spirit, your human spirit, not your eternal spirit, your human spirit has to go somewhere. And so it goes to paradise or whatever. Today you'll be with me in paradise, he said to one guy, and so on and so forth. So others go into the place of torment, others go into the place of comfort, others go into Abraham's bosom, on and on and on, right? I know you've heard all that, you've never been taught it, so you don't even know about it. But the truth is, you don't go to heaven. Heaven is later. Heaven is future. Heaven is after the great white throne judgment. And that's 1,000 years after he returns, and he hasn't even returned yet. So that was 2,000 years ago. He told us all this. Then he's going to come back, and then we're going to reign with him 1,000 years if we're ready. If when we die, we're already ready, because we do believe, and we have been filled, and we are led. And so he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master, because he came back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or stain or blemish. How many of you have gotten rid of all your spots and wrinkles and blemishes and sins and, you know, unholinesses? How many are already perfect? Oh. Well, who's your pastor? You must not have a very good pastor. You must not have a good pastor. So I want you all to know that this is not a work of yours. It's a work of God. I want you to know it's a work of God. It's a promise he made. Your job is only to thank you. That's all. Well, praise you. Well, magnify you. Not me. I didn't do anything. Why? Because apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Nothing. But in me. Oh, you can do all things. So if I'm in him and he's in me, then not only do I have faith in him, but I also want to submit to him in his lordship and then do the works of God, which I don't do because he's in me to will and to do. And then I want to do them. And then we will be ready as a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing because of your starting with faith, which then becomes active in love. Faith active in love. You're going to be born of the Spirit, then you're going to be led of the Spirit. Actually, what you're in this chair here, you're crucified daily. I die daily. Remember Paul said, I die daily? So here, you actually die every day. every day. What does that mean? That means I'm not proud every day, and when I am, I confess it. I don't change it. I just confess it. God, I was proud again. Oh, I was covetous again. Oh, I was jealous again. I was mean. I was real mean this morning. I had one of those mean mornings. It was a doozy. Okay, he doesn't care. That is not important to him. But what he likes you to do is confess it. Come into the light. Come clean on it. God, because you remember this? If you confess your sins unto God, he is faithful to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All you got to do is say it. All you got to say, I did wrong, Mommy. I did wrong, Daddy. All you got to do is say it, God. And now you're clean. And therefore, you can live a loving life. Today, now, here. So when men see your good works, which it isn't really me, it's Christ in me. When they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father in heaven because they know you didn't do it. The Father in heaven did it through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, through you. There it is. Amen. There it is. It's a complicated thing, but really not. It's really not complicated at all. Because the Father did not create the Son. The Son also is God, fully God. So is the Holy Spirit. And so, but he sent the Son because the Father himself loveth you. Don't think the Father's mean and he wants you to keep a law and then the Son is nice. Uh-uh. The Father himself loveth you and he wants you to be part of his trust, his spiritual trust on earth. And everything he created naturally is going to perish. That's not going to last forever. But everything that's been born again of the Spirit and then filled with the Spirit, and then you here have walking in love. That's what lives forever. That's eternal life. That's how eternal life works. It works like that. Makes you from here to here to here. So once you have this eternal life at work in you, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Otherwise, it's the hope of glory, meaning future. It's future. You haven't seen the full glory. From glory to glory, he's leaving me. No, he's changing me. From glory to glory, he's changing me into his likeness, into his image, so that I'm just like him. Why? Because he's in me. I couldn't do it. I was unable under the law to behave myself. Is there anyone else who tends not to behave all the time, perfectly? You shall be holy as I am holy. How many have not been holy? I remember my grandmother on her deathbed, she was dying. And she said, Jim, I haven't kept all the commandments, but I think I've kept several. Because she was trying to do it in her own power because she grew up that way. That was her teaching. And I tell you, a lot of people today are still, sure, you know, believing that kind of thing. And I knew she had broken several commandments. I mean, I knew that when she said it. And she didn't explain which one she had kept and so on, because we might have had a discussion there. But you know, she was a snake charmer. She wrestled alligators in the circus, and she was a doozy. She had four husbands and blah 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 blah. So she was a real rounder. But you know, she was my grandmother, and I knew if you're going to get in that way, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And so by going to church, you know, once a year at Christmas or Easter, by going to church once a year doesn't make you a Christian. How many know? Under the law, you have to. You have to go at least once a year. Did you know they'll write you off their books if you don't go once a year? They call you an active member if you just go one time or make one contribution. So it's a pretty low bar. Nevertheless, that's not God's bar. He wants one of these. This is what he wants, sons for glory. He wants to have many sons to glory. And you know what? He always gets what he wants. So there's no way you can fail because it's his promise. It's his promise. All you have to do is get born. If you're just born again because of the Son of Man who came down, who is also the Son of God. So we really could put these two together. We actually could put this one on top of this one, because now you're in this one, even though he's down here, and you can see this other chair underneath him if you have eyes, if you have spiritual eyes to see. So when he speaks, people actually were hearing a son of man speaking, but they could hear the Son of God in his words. Because he was talking about things that were impossible with man, but were possible with God. So under the law, you can only do what's possible. For example, under the law it says, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength. How many know that very few, except for pastors, have achieved that? How many know that that is not possible? And then he gave another one. And love your neighbor as yourself. That also is not possible. As a matter of fact, everything that's possible here is to feel guilty. That's it. The only thing you can really get under the law is, I didn't do it. I'm sorry. I messed up again. That's as high as you're going to get under a law. So God gave the law not so you'd obey. He gave the law so you'd confess. I'm going to say that again. He gave the law not so anyone would do it, because only Christ can do this law freely, gladly, happily, from all his heart, because he's the Son of Man. But you cannot do even the law. I don't care which law it is. You can't keep any of them. How many have kept the ninth commandment? How many have caught the eighth? How many even know what they are? How many know their order? You know, so we're not taking them too seriously. So all the religions which try to mitigate it by saying, oh, it's okay if, you know, that's not true. God wants you to be perfect. You shall be perfect as I am perfect. Remember he said that? You shall be holy as I am holy. Well, he's pretty holy. And I'm not like that at all. So I need another deal. I don't need a law telling me what to do to please him. I need a gospel tells me what he wants to do to bless me. I like that one better. I like promises better than I like laws. Now, could I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yeah, so this is good news. So Christmas is a good, you know, I'm not preaching the Christmas message, but I am preaching it. Because that's when he comes down to show you how much he loves you, even though you're a sinner, and even though you're going to kill him for loving you. Did you know you often hurt the people that you love? Or that love you? And so don't worry about it, because we have a God that's forgiving. He doesn't even count it. He doesn't care what you haven't done or have done. He just says, Jesus, you go down there. I want you to go down there, and I want you to pay for all their sins. I want you to take away all their sins, and I want you to live your life, our life, through them, and they get the credit then for that, even though they didn't do it. It's all derivative. You don't have life in yourself. Yours is derivative, only because you're connected to him, only because you're the bride of the bridegroom. So he's the one that makes the bride the bride. You can't be a bride if someone isn't your bridegroom. You all see that?
Yes.
You can't be a bride unless you have a bridegroom. And so the bridegroom comes and makes the offer. How many know the woman is not supposed to make the offer? But some are desperate, they do. These days they do. But you're not supposed to. You're supposed to wait for the man to initiate. And you're in trouble if no man initiates. So you want to kind of clean up or do something, put some lipstick on or something to fix up a little bit so that he'll love you. Well, Jesus doesn't care what you look like. He doesn't care how you behave. He loves everybody. Did you know that he does not desire the death of any sinner? He doesn't desire the death of any sinner. I think it's Ezekiel 33:11-18. But anyway, he doesn't take pleasure in anyone dying. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to be justified, sanctified, and glorified. However, he's already said they aren't going to do it because many are going to stay here under a law. Whether you keep it or disobey it doesn't make any difference. You're not under a law if you're under a promise. Promises trump laws. This is a seven, and that's the ace. You know, it's the king right over here. And so you have no worry about keeping the law, because you'll never keep the law. You can't be like Jesus. You can't be Christ-like, spirit, soul, and body. You can't do it. And he deliberately rigged it, set it up, so you couldn't do it here, but you could take it here. Just receive it. It's a gift. This is a free gift over here because it's God's idea. This one is God's initiation, not yours. Do y'all see this? I'm telling you, pastors, even when they believe everything I just said, they'll teach this. They don't mean to, perhaps, but they'll end up teaching this. Because they don't want you to sin. Especially, make sure you give them the money. And make sure that, you know, whatever else. I mean, pastors are themselves needing to be saved and sanctified and glorified. Because a lot of them know the truth, but they deliberately don't teach it because they know their people don't want to suffer. If you preach a message that they don't like, they might leave. And so pastors tend to shape it in such a way that nobody leaves. Now, I'm just telling you, I'm not one of those. I want to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because it's all good news. To me, this is a billion times better than what they're teaching you. But most people don't want to sit in this chair here because this is the chair where you suffer. Here you're born, and the first thing he does is he wants to kill off your flesh. And I want to throw a fit because I want to keep some of my sins. I'll give up some bad ones. Let's see which one. And so, but I want to keep my bad ones. I'd like to keep some of those. I know some of them aren't as bad as others. Take my really, really bad ones. You know, like my temper. That makes me mad if you don't take that one. But you know what? You don't really know what right and wrong is, what good and evil is. You don't know anything. So just let God do it. I mean, no, it's up to the parent, not up to the child, to figure out what he's done wrong. To figure out what exactly he's done wrong. You know what I mean? But you know what? You don't have to know, because the parent knows. And in this case, Jesus came down to suffer and die for you. If you were to suffer, he wants to suffer. He doesn't want you to suffer. He never wanted anyone to perish. Now, there will be some who do, but that's their own choice. He's not going to force you. It's a gift. It's a gift. You don't force kids to open it up. They just take it. If they want it. If it's wrapped nice, they'll probably take it. And I'm just telling you, it's beautiful. Now, let's look at the second chapter of Philippians. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So that's that last chair. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, there he was, Son of God, up on the top, thought it not robbery, you know, stealing something, to be equal with God. So was Jesus less than God? Is God the Father greater than Jesus? No. Then why did he say he was? Did you know that at a certain point he said, the Father's greater than I? You remember that? You remember that? So is he equal or is he greater? Is he equal to God? And it said, Jesus thought it not robbery. He thought it not robbery as Son of God to be equal with God. Because Son of God is equal to him. Son of man is not. Son of man is not equal. So there, as Son of man, he says, the Father's greater. But as Son of God, he does not. He says, I'm equal. Do you know why they killed him? Because he said he was equal. They wouldn't have killed him if he'd have just said, the Father's greater than I. He said things like this that scandalized everybody. Come unto me. You search the law because you think that in them you have eternal life. But it's they that bear witness to me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. He should have said, go to the Father. He should have magnified the Father if the Father was greater. But actually the Father assigned Jesus as Son of God to appear to be Son of Man, which the Son of Man would say, I'm the servant of God, therefore he's greater. But the Son of God is equal to and fully God. And therefore, when he comes down, he has the God in him that he's talking about. So he's both equal to and greater than. Both. The Father is greater than I am a Son of Man, but not a Son of God. Y'all see that? You haven't been taught that. I'm just teaching you something you don't know, but it helps you to understand how the Bible talks. What the Bible wants is don't do a thing, let him do everything. Don't keep his law, don't behave yourself. Now, some of you are doing really good about not behaving. And I appreciate that. That is wonderful. Because you know what? He's the only one that can do this perfect work. With God, all things are possible. With you, not. Not. So you can't do perfect things. You don't have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. You don't have those nine fruits of the Spirit. Those are not possible here. But did you know against such there is no law? So when you get them over here, everybody knows, how'd you do that? Even the Jews would marvel, and they are today. There are many Jewish Christians now. That is, they're born Jewish, and they are now Messianic Christians. In other words, they believe that Jesus is the Messiah, HaMashiach. Not that he's coming, but he's already come. And because of that, that means that even the Jews are jealous that we got in through mercy, and they want that too. Hey, can we get some of that mercy stuff? Because in the Old Testament, it says all the time, God is merciful. His mercy endureth forever. You know, it says it all over the place. And yet, they're under a law. Well, if I try to keep the law, I can't, so I need mercy. Run over here, and Christ is the only one, not some lamb, not some goat, not some bull, not some turtle dove. He is the only sacrifice. When he dies, he gives up his spirit. Not his eternal spirit, but his temporal spirit. He turns his life over and he dies. So he's dead. But then he's raised up again because of this eternal life in him. So this eternal life, that is why he could raise up from the dead, by the eternal spirit. Not by his temporal spirit. Remember, he gave up his spirit? So how did he give it up if he kept it? Because one's eternal, the other's temporal. So he died in the temporal, but he kept forever, and that raised him up, and it'll raise you up. You have a temporal spirit, and when you die, you give up the spirit. But you also have an eternal spirit if you're born again. If you're born of the Spirit and now filled with the Spirit daily and now led of the Spirit, you'll be ready. Not only do you have eternal life, but it's working and producing love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength. I love you, I love you, I love you. And your neighbor as yourself. You can't do that if you don't go through this death and this resurrection. So this is a birth to die to resurrect. A birth to die to yourself so you can resurrect and love as God loves. His love is in you. It's his love. It's his life. It's his joy. It's his peace. It's his light. It's everything. Did you know that the life of Jesus, this one, right here, the life is not the physical life, but the spiritual life of Jesus is the light that enlightens every man that comes into the world. So he's the only light there is. Buddha's not... You know, Muhammad is not, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But God wants to be their light. They're not the light. Those other gods are false. There's nothing to them. They're just wanting man to behave. And if you'll see closely, very closely, they always use violence to force people to do what's right. God never does. God will never force you to do what's right. This is all a gift. This is all his work. This is all just freely given. God will never want you to behave. He'll never hear God say, behave yourself. Never. That's a law. He gave the law so you'd realize I can't. And that's all he wanted. I just can't do it. That's what he wants. Mom, I can't make my bed. I just can't. I can't put all my toys away. How can I go out and play if I don't put all my toys away? You know what I mean? But then let Mom do it. Mm-hmm. Mom, could you do it for me? And then... help me to do it. Do you see what I'm saying? That works, doesn't it? Doesn't it work when Mom does it? She does it just the way it's supposed to be. Because she's the one you're trying to please. So it's easy. When the God who gives you something, here, whatever he demands, he supplies. I'll say it again. Whatever God demands, he supplies. So what he demands in the law, he supplies. Jesus, you go down and do it. You keep the law for them. And then let them go free. So is everybody free? No more chains. No more guilt. No more guilt. The guilt is gone. The guilt is gone because now I believe his blood covers me. And now I actually feel, experience, actually, not just believing in it. Now I actually experience it as the Holy Spirit works in me every day until I'm perfected. And then when his love is perfected in me, here's how his love starts. 1, 2, 3. Here it begins, here it keeps going, and here it finishes. Until you are perfected, God isn't done. Jesus Christ has not yet finished. Until that trump sounds, when that last trump sounds, it'll go all over the earth. Everyone will know it, everyone will see it, everyone will hear it. He comes back in glory.
Amen.
And many will shrink back, but you and I are going to run forward. That's Jesus. That's my beloved. He's come. That'll be an exciting day. For us, we're not going to shrink back. And when people are shrinking back, go, oh, where are we going? Come on, that's Jesus. He loves you. You're trying to witness to people. Don't run away from him. He's not come to hurt you. He wants to bless you. Well, I'm probably no good. No. You don't need to be good. You're not under a law. Jesus loves you. And I'm going to be witnessing. I'm going to stay at the end of the line and keep witnessing to people. Try to get as many as I can not to run away. Especially church members. Where are you going? Well, it's scary. No, it isn't. That's just the glory. That's just the glory of God to kill wickedness so that you can be happy. You're not going to be happy, you know, if you're in a world that's all wicked. Right now, the world is all wicked. I don't know if you noticed that or not. This is a wicked world, and you've done your share to help. But that's okay. God forgives all that. He's not mad at anybody. He's not mad at, you know, anybody. He's not mad. Jesus Christ already died for everybody's sin. Everybody. Pharaoh, Esau, I don't care who you think, didn't make it. All of them could have made it. So the only thing God wants is, please take my gift. That's all. Look, it's free. I've promised everything. Haven't left anything off. How many love it when a little kid opens a present and it's just what they wanted and their eyes go like this? You know, that is just the moment when you know I got the right gift. And there's just a joy. And I like little kids that are 2 and 3 and 5 and so on, because they're just so excited when they open it. You know, and they get all excited. That's God. That's the way God is. That's why it's a free gift. You don't have to earn it. So I don't believe in Saint Nick for that reason. Because there you have to behave yourself. Because he's coming to town. And he's going to find out who's naughty and nice. And then you don't get it if you're naughty, and you get it only if you're nice. So little kids are scared of that. That makes them not want to get there. When they get the gift, they're so glad I got something. You know, I was afraid I was naughty. Because the last 3 days particularly, you know, you behave yourself. You know Saint Nick is coming. And they're scared that they're going to mess up in the 3 days. Or 24 hours or whatever. Look, never worry. Jesus Christ has already paid for everything. It's past. It's not even a future event. It's something that happened 2,000 years ago. And the world still doesn't know this. Why? Because Christians look morbid. Most Christians that you meet are not happy all the time. Right? Peggy can tell you I'm always happy. Why? Because of this book. This is what I read in this book. I like it. This book is good that Jesus did everything. He came down. Look what he did. He came down, and here's what he did. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That word in the Greek is kenosis. Say it.
Kenosis.
Okay, kenosis means emptied himself. In other words, he emptied himself of all of his divinity, Son of God attributes, but not, he still had the eternal life in him. He just didn't use his omnipotence. He didn't use his omnipresence. He didn't use all these great things that he had up in heaven. And he just set them aside. They're still his. He'll get it later. Remember he said, he's going to now, when I die and resurrect and so on, I'll get my glory back. And when he left the earth, he said, now I go to the Father to receive back all my glory. So he gave that up, but he didn't give it up like gone. He just gave it up like set it aside. I want you to go down now and be a servant, and you're going to help people that are going to kill you. That's us. How many know our sins killed him? But he said, I want to have all their sins. I don't want them to have one sin. Did you give me all your sins? You know, he's trying to get rid of all your sins so you'll be happy. How many know sin is what makes unhappiness? Your lust, your anger, your bitterness, your jealousy, etc., etc. Those are the things that make you unhappy. When you love one another and lose your life, you actually find it. When you start loving other people, and because you don't have to worry about yourself because God takes care of you, when you start expending yourself for other people to lift them up, to help them, to get all the burdens off of them, most people are depressed. Most people are under a law. They're under necessity. Well, I had to do it. I didn't want to do it, but I had to. You know, they're under depression. I'm not. I never am. I don't care what it's like. I know God is for me. If God be for me, who can be against me? If God is on my side, who's going to stop me? So once you know who you are in Christ, once you're born of the Spirit, Now I have eternal life in me. He said, if you believe, then you have eternal life. So you have it, even though I told you, it's still future. You still haven't got all of it. You want all of it. You don't want it just to be babyish. You want to grow up to be a bride. And the bride has to be of age. So she's not of age until all the sin is gone. So when he comes back, she won't have a spot or a wrinkle on her dress. She won't have a blemish or a stain. She won't have anything unholy about her, inner and outer. Her outer will be as beautiful as her inner. Over here, I have the inner eternal life, but it's not yet outer. Okay, I still sin. How many know Christians still sin? There's only four in this room today. I'm just looking around. There's only four of you that are still wicked. But most of you are, you know, you're believing in Jesus, okay? So you haven't yet been perfected. But that's up to God. It's not up to you. You don't perfect yourself. It just happens because God says, you're mine. When he borns you naturally, and then you lost that, then he borns you again spiritually. Now he's going to be the one, through the Spirit, to then change you from glory to glory until you're perfected. Now how many know that you don't have to work at this? It's a gift. It's something he does. He does it while you're sleeping. He doesn't want your cooperation. Now most pastors that I know do talk about, well, God did it all, but you have to cooperate. No, there is no but. God did it all, period.
Amen.
And whatever hasn't been done, you're not going to do it because you're not perfect. Let him perfect you. Once you're perfected, then he'll come back and marry you. And then you'll rule and reign with him for 1,000 years and then all eternity. But blessed are those that are part of the first resurrection. Why? Because you already don't have to go through all the troubles and difficulties. Because you've already... Not only have you been born again, but you also then have been filled daily because you asked for the Holy Spirit to do it. And then you already are loving others. And when you love others, you're going to suffer. When you love other people, you'll find out they hate you for it. Now, some people are so desperate, they love you. Thank you for giving me the good news. But some other people persecute you when you do that. Get away from me. I don't need your love. I don't need you to help me. How many know people are like that? So loving sinners is not so easy. That's why they killed Jesus. He loved them. He even said to them when they were killing him, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. I'm their Savior. I'm their only hope. And they're killing me. I'll have to resurrect to help them out. I know what I'll do. I'll work through my church. Well, we're the church. Can you see how you're beautiful and wonderful? How beautiful are the feet of them that bring the good news. I'm bringing you good news.
Amen.
And my feet are beautiful. They may smell, but they're beautiful. They look good. Okay, so God wants you to know that good news is what you need to hear. And I know it's not being taught everywhere. I know that people sneak in that law somewhere where there's something you have to do. You know, well, I noticed so-and-so is late, or I noticed the lawn wasn't mowed yesterday. Well, pastors are doing that all the time, or I noticed the offering was down, or I noticed, you know, we don't have as many people attending this week, and so on. So they're always putting pressure on people. You have never heard me do it, and you never will. You've never even heard me preach a message on giving, and you never will. Well, I say you never will. God told me to do it, I do it, but I don't think I need to do it, so I'm not doing it until he tells me. And so far for 40-some years, I don't know how long it's been, 50 probably. How long has it been, Peg knows?
Well, this church is
1980. But I think I started in 69, didn't I?
Well,
yeah, and anyway, I've never preached on money, ever, at any time. Never will. But today I'm going to make an exception. No. I don't care about it. How many know if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll give you everything else.
Amen.
I mean, know that. You don't have to worry about it. I don't ever control people. I don't care if they come and go and go for a while and come for a while and come back. I don't care. I love them just the same. If they walk back in after 15 years, 20 years, it's the same as though you never left. As a matter of fact, I'm praying. I still pray for all those people, and I don't care. I just want them blessed. Why? Because I'm blessed. You can't bless if you're not blessed. You can't give blessings to others if you're not blessed yourself. But I am so blessed, not only did I get born again, not only did I get filled with the Spirit, but now, what a joy to lose my life, because that's when I found it. As soon as I did what Jesus said, it's better. Jesus loves Peggy better than I do. The Jesus in me is a greater lover than the Jesus that leaves me do it and then he tries to take the credit for it. No, no, no. Jesus has to do it all. He has to do it all. I go, Jesus, you know me. I'll revert in a minute. How many know that once you're a Christian, you could revert? You could suddenly get angry or suddenly get, or I don't want to see you again. How many know that you can do that? Christians will do that. I do it too. Everybody does it. But mine lasts about 3 seconds and I go, that's not Jesus. Sorry, Jesus. Sorry, Peggy. You know, whatever. And I just say I'm sorry because I am, but I don't have to feel it. I just say it. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not working at it. I don't ever do any work. It's so good to be lazy. How many have the gift of lazy? You know, lazy is where you don't do anything. You let God do everything because he's a servant. You got a servant right here. The Son of Man came to serve. He did not come to be served. He came to serve. So you're not under the law of a slave or a servant. So Jesus came so that he could serve us. That's the only reason he came. He's not even putting down the bad people. Have anybody noticed that he hasn't put down the bad people? That's coming later. First, he's just trying to get his church clean. He's trying to get his church clean. Then he'll go after the wicked. But he's not, I tell you, oh God, deliver me from the wicked. He's not going to do it. Not going to do it. The wickedness is inside of you that he wants. He said, let judgment begin in the household of God. We're not judging the outsider. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. That's who you are, and I want to make sure your salt is salty and your light is bright. So I want to get all the sin out of you, and that's all there's to it. I want to make sure this faith that makes all of your sacrifices acceptable to God, salt, is also accompanied by the light of this world. And they don't see your faith. They don't see your discipleship, your growing. They only see your works. The only thing they see is your works. People don't see anything else. They don't care about your words. They don't care what you say. They just want to see if you do it. And when you do, they glorify your Father, which is in heaven. They go, wow, how did you do that? How did you do that? Because I know you. You're not able to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. You are not able to do that. So how did you do that? I didn't, you say. I didn't do it. Don't thank me. Thank the Father. Did y'all see that? So, this is good. I'm almost done. Let this mind be in you, verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form, that word for form is morphe, of a servant, diakonia, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found, so he's just like us, he came down just to be exactly like us in form. Substantially, he's still God. Substantia Dei. He still has Son of God in him. So he doesn't have our substance. He only has our form. We still have substance until we're born again. Now we have his substance inside of me. Now I have substantia Dei. I have the substance of God that births me, and then that grows me, and then that matures me. So that I'm completely perfect in Christ. Do y'all see that? But that was all God's work. I didn't take any credit for it. I didn't even know how to build it. I was the house he was building. I wasn't the builder. I was the building. So he's building us up as a body of Christ through these words that I'm saying to you. They're the truth that will set you free. Amen. You're not under any laws. You're not under any devils. You're not under any wrath. You're not under any government today that's hurting you. You're not under anybody. You're under God. Let God take care of you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. He'll give you everything else. Don't worry about it. The only reason you have a bad government today is because there's something wrong in the church. I'm going to say it again. The only reason you have a bad government today is because there's something wrong in the church. If the church were the light and the salt, the government would be small. But it's big today because you goofed up and he's trying to get your attention. He's not going to clean up the government. He is not going to give you a president that's wondrous. I mean, you may be hoping for another George Washington or Lincoln or somebody. You're not going to get it, or Reagan, or I don't know who your favorites are. But the truth is, you're not going to get that. You'll just get somebody else who lies. So don't think it's going to go away. Wow, we finally got a good one. No, you didn't. You just have another one. That's all. Because they're not going to overthrow all that bad stuff, I guarantee you.
Yep.
Only Jesus cleans you up. He not only forgives you, but then he cleans you up, and then he perfects you. That, nobody else does that. Nobody else does that. It's our responsibility, though not our fault, that the world is in the shape it is. It's our responsibility. Why? Because you're the light and the salt of the earth, of this world. Last, I'm almost done. Verse 8, being found in fashion, schematai, like a schema or a pattern. Being found in fashion as a man, he looks like a man, he humbled himself. Tapain, that means made himself low. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Why? For you. That was for you, so you don't have to die. His death means you don't have to die. His death means all the sins have been paid for. The Father is completely happy. He sees the blood of Jesus on me. I'm sprinkled. That's it. Water baptism, spirit baptism, that's all free. Free, 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 free. Everything's free. He does. He knows what he's doing. He's just letting you know so you can rejoice. And I want to make it clear to you. Wherefore, God also, because he died on the cross for your sins, and he also then has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So his resurrection is yours. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, things under the earth, everything's going to bow to him. There's nothing that he isn't over now. Even now, he's already there. It's just you haven't seen it yet because you're not ready. You're not ready. You're not ready to rule and reign with him right now. But as soon as you are, he'll come back. And the wicked one is going to come first. And he's going to put you under the heaviest burdens and laws that he can possibly find. So what? I mean, no, we don't have to fight. I mean, no, the God's our refuge. He's our strength. We sang it today. You know, the Lord is my, not only my Savior, but he's my Lord and he's my bridegroom. I don't have to worry because the bridegroom's not going to let me, the bride, get in trouble. So I just want you to know we're having a ball down here. You should be every day, every minute of every second. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I glorify, magnify you. I adore you. I love you. And that should be all he is. That's not a work. That's just a response to the fact that the work's all been done. By God, for you. You're the beneficiary. He's the trustee of the benefactor. You're the beneficiary. He's the trustee of the benefactor. And he's under the law, but he already finished that. That's gone. And then he himself makes sure he takes all the burden and you get all the blessing. What a God. I like that God.
Amen.
Whoever sent him down, that's a good guy. I like him. That's your Father in heaven who's benevolent, loving. He's always been a loving father. He has always been a loving father. And he has never been an angry judge. But why did he give us the law? He gave you the law, I told you. Not to make you do it, but so that Jesus could do it for you. And he could just show you mercy. That's why he gave you the law. You didn't do it. The Jews never did it. How many know the Jews still haven't to this day done it? It's okay. He still loves them. And he's still going to hold out until they're perfected. The Jewish people will send forth, just like us, will send forth messianic Jewish people who, as Jews, now believe in Jesus, the Messiah, because they know they couldn't make it. I shouldn't tell what I'm about to tell, but I want to, so I'm going to. Ariel Sharon, who was one of their leaders, actually said at a certain point, privately to somebody whom I know, he said to him, you know what, this Jewish thing didn't work. And one of the reasons we're going to send our kids to California, J&H Ranch, is because we want them to be converted to Jesus Christ. And they sent tens of thousands and tens of thousands and tens of thousands of young Jewish people today who are in the army, who are in positions of power today, who love Jesus. And they're the biggest group in Israel. If you're going to be elected president, or if you're going to be elected prime minister in this case, you have to have the Christian vote or you lose. Whoever gets the Christian vote, it's the biggest swing. You have to get the Christian vote, you win. Did y'all hear what I just said? That's amazing. Again, it shouldn't be published or anything, but it's just, it's an amazing truth that they know if an election was held, it'd probably be a messianic who'd get it. And so they don't know what to make of all that. But they're not against it. They're actually realizing the other thing didn't work. And they'll tell you, I went twice this year already to Israel. The leaders will tell you, you know what? This thing you guys are doing, keep it up. Keep doing it. We like you guys. And they say these words. We're not religious. What they mean is we don't wear the hats and the curls and so on. We don't do the religious outward stuff. But we're secular, meaning we're not pretending like we're doing it right. But we do fear God, and we do believe in God. That's amazing. So Bibi Netanyahu was one of those. Bibi believes not in Jesus. He doesn't believe in Jesus, but he's not against him. He's not at all against him. He just, hey, you want to give some more money? Go for it. You know, I'll take it. And he'll just take anything he can get, and that's why he came here. Because of the believers in America, not because of the administration. Didn't come deliberately to the administration for that reason. And it wasn't the Jewish support either. He did not come for the Jewish vote. Came for the Christians. Because he knows the Christians are the ones that love them, and they for some reason we find Jews in the Bible. And so since he's in the Bible, that Christians think they still got a future. They like that. That's good news to them. So they're going by this mercy thing is, hey, keep it up, you guys, keep it up. You know, keep going. Yeah, pour out more money, be visitors, you know, spend all your money, you know, vote for Israel and so on and so forth. They love it. But they're just being practical people. They're not pretending like they're great holy people. They're just simply saying, hey, we don't believe in all that religion stuff because it hadn't worked for all these years. So what we're doing is sending our kids over to America, get them born again. And they're in the army. If you go into the army, which a friend of mine has done, and you say, you know, praise the Lord, they'll shout back, hallelujah. You know, these are Jewish people in the army with guns at their side. Hallelujah. In other words, they know that God is a living God, and they haven't given up. So when they call themselves secular, it doesn't mean they're not religious. It means they're not religious that way, under a law. They're religious this way. Mercy. I love it. Last verse. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. That'll glorify the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as much in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For, work out your own, that sounds like over here. Nuh-uh. Listen carefully. For he is in you to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Amen.
Did you see that?
Yes.
See, it sounded like he started out over here. You work out your. It sounded like I had to do something. But then he said, work out your own salvation, meaning like this. He's in you. Now I'll work that out. And now he's put the will in you. And now he's put the do in you. In other words, he's did it all. So, for he is in you to will and to do. So, if you're a Christian, it's all God. He gave it to you in the first place by mercy. Then he gave it in the second place by his own power. You got the grace of God working in you. You don't have to worry about a thing. I hope this was good news to you today.
Amen.
As Jesus was a servant, he came down to love you. That love is unconditional. There's no conditions to it. There aren't any laws to interrupt it. Behave yourself. There is no behave yourself. I know Susan is wicked, and I know Tim is wicked, and you're the only one that's any good in this family. Don't worry about it. Those are great parents to get. They're the best. They love you. And who is this?
Nanny.
That's Nanny. That's good. All right. Our God is great. God is good.